Still got a lot of growing to do. Speaking of growing, we were on vacation this last week, and thank you, Pastor Tony and Brian, for bringing the word the last 2 weeks. We're blessed to have such great teachers. But we're up in Pismo Beach. You know, I'm going to be talking about faith, you know, today, and persevering in faith. It is the character trait of success. You know, in everything, in every area of life, it's important to be able to persevere. You want to be successful financially, you have to persevere in doing financially wise things. Relationships, you want to be successful in that, you have to persevere in doing the things that create that. But all the areas that we persevere in don't necessarily bring us the outcome we want, because there's a lot of things that we can't control. The one area of perseverance that you ought never waver in is perseverance in our faith, because God's promises are true and they're going to take place. We just don't know exactly when. And perseverance in faith is so important. It's because success is incremental. When you succeed in something, it is not all at one time. It's incremental. In fact, James 1:4 says this: let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. The three words I want to focus on in that statement are finish its work. So that means faith starts at a point. It starts on the timeline of your life, and then God continues to develop that faith. By what? By trials. By the things we experience, which reveal our level of maturity in faith. He says this thing must finish its work so we will be mature. God's desire is to grow us up, and that's grow us up in our faith. So our ability to persevere is fueled by our faith. In fact, this is what he says in the verses preceding that. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. Verses 2. 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So when our faith is tested, it reveals to us the level of faith we have. And how is that done? It's done through perseverance. I persevere in one area of faith, and something comes and tests my faith, and it's a trial, and it shows me where my level of faith is. And in that, I can have joy. How? Wow, I am handling this situation better than I did 2 years ago. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I'd have been in the fetal position. But now I'm handling this new thing and I'm still able to keep going. That's where we take joy. We don't take joy in the aspect of trials. Bring them. Heading for a good time now. We get joy from understanding that our maturity in faith is being revealed. And that's revealed in multiple different ways. And on that timeline, we face multiple areas where our faith is tested. On this vacation we just came back from, we were up in Pismo Beach for 4 days. And it's not a real vacation unless you have to deal with the law. And so, you know, it's highly illegal to dig clams in Pismo Beach. It's known for clams. But you can't do it. If you have a license, you can get 10, and they have to be yay big and yada, yada, yada. Who needs rules? And so anyways, one of the oldest boy is digging for clams, and he's got a bucket full of clams. And the warden pulls up because they go up and down the beach. And I'm sitting back under the umbrella going, oh, geez. And, you know, trying to, do I disown them? Do I act like I not know them? How do I do this? How do I navigate? Because the old Joe, my faith of the old Joe, when the law comes around, that's a problem. And so anyways, the middle guy, while the oldest guy's talking to the warden and is in trouble, and the warden's holding the bucket. Lilith's guy comes running up with handfuls of clams. Oblivious to the whole situation. He's horrible at being a criminal. And he dumps the clams right into the bucket. So I'm watching this going, oh, you know, and then of course, you know, it comes to the point where you got to go over there, and the warden turns and looks at me, and my grandson points me out. And so I got to come down, and I'm talking to the guy, and he says, do you know it's illegal to do that? And I said, no, I lied right to him. Of course I knew it was illegal. They got signs every 40 feet. But old Joe, in this test of faith during this trial, reverted back. I'm just thankful the guy didn't ask me what my profession was. And I'm in the middle of this, and I'm saying to God, God, you know, I know this is, you know, I shouldn't do this. And I know you guys never do this, but I'm still growing in my faith. And I'm going, oh, God, forgive me. You know, that's just, you know, and I was a horrible example. But what that, the reason I'm sharing this with you is in that little trial, I reverted back to, you know, lying and acting like I'm innocent when I'm not, you know. And you know, and so I made a commitment to myself that I'm going to grow in that area. And next time a policeman pulls me over for a traffic fraction, he says, you know why I pulled you over? I'm just going to come right out and say, yes, I was speeding. No, I'm not. My faith isn't that. I'm not that saved. But that's what I aspire to. I aspire to have that kind of faith and trust in God. So I say that to let you know that along the timeline of my faith journey, there are still issues I have to grow in faith-wise, in trusting God. Ultimately, the answer to the story is the guy let us go, and, you know, it was a warning and all that, because, they, you know, he takes out all the clams and he pulls up his truck, puts the gate down and puts all the clams out there, takes pictures of them, and you know... It's like they're victims or something. And but it's a $100 fine per clam. And then all the fees and assessments they give you on top of that. And so he was really cool, and he let us go. And, you know, and I was a horrible witness. I was a horrible witness. My faith, you know, but God showed me, Joe, why are you lying? You know, I can protect you. And... or not, because that's what my head goes to, the or not time. Oh, I'm getting a ticket for sure. And, you know, and I just stood there as I looked at the boys, and they looked at me, and it was a beautiful moment of... I don't know what that was all about. Yeah. So this is the thing. Faith always is measured by our trials. And the and that measurement isn't to condemn us. It's to show us where we're at in growth in a particular area. When my fears override my faith, like in where I stand today, you know, I mean, if he wrote me up, then I'd handle it. But, you know, I just had a problem being honest with the policeman. I just did. And I don't want to do that. And I'm a horrible witness to the guy. God, if you would have found out I was a pastor, you know, that would have not been, well, you guys think I'm a pastor, so I'm sorry. I got a lot of growing to do. So, and that's probably why I can't get off this topic of growing in our faith and persevering in our faith, because it's so important for us. You know, James 2:4 tells us this, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds. They always go together. The deeds reveal my level of faith. And I will show you my faith by my deeds, how I handle life. And in Hebrews 11, it's even taken to another level. We're told this in Hebrews 11:1, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. My faith in the way I walk shows the reality of what I want or what I hope for in the future. That's what faith is. I'm following Jesus in the midst of whatever is going on, because that's my hope, and he has promised to turn everything out for good. I don't know how, and oftentimes I don't even necessarily see it, and I probably won't see things in my whole life. But nonetheless, my faith tells me that he's not a liar. He's not like Joe with the policeman or the warden. He tells the truth. And he says, this faith is the evidence of things we cannot see. We're believing, but we're believing on what hasn't appeared yet. And it says this, through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. So on this timeline that we happen to live in this generation on that timeline, we are to look back at the times of past to the people God said had a good reputation in heaven. I want to have a good reputation with people, but it is far more important to me to have a good reputation in the heavenlies, to have a good reputation with God. So he says, listen, we need to look back at those who have a good reputation following God when they didn't see their hopes come to fruition. And then in verse 13, it says, all these people, and it gives us between verse 1 and verse 13, all these heroes of the faith who lived by faith in the myriad of circumstances they lived in, but they never seen the fruition of what they hoped for come to pass. It says, all these people died still believing what God had promised them, but they did not receive what was promised. And some versions say in this life. But they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They knew that it would happen. They saw the unseen from a distance. Some of us in here, see, that's a hero of faith. There is no greater faith walk or difficulty in faith walk than when you've been praying for something, working towards something, and you don't see it happen. That's where the real deal of faith comes in. And some of you have prayed for years for something to happen, whether it's your health, a relationship, a financial breakthrough, a job change, something, and you still don't see. Praying for a loved one that is way sideways. Praying for someone to come to the Lord in years and didn't see it. And yet you continue to walk in faith. That's where the rubber meets the road. God didn't answer my prayer, but I still trust God. He continues to not answer my prayer, but I still believe he's got a plan. And that plan will be good. Though I see it or don't see it isn't the determining factor. The determining factor is Jesus said he'd work all things out for good. Said he is for me and not against me. Said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. See, my actions sometimes can fall way short, but my faith is that Jesus still loves me and he'll help me. If I go by my actions, I'm up, down, all around. I'm in, I'm out. But if my faith, the faith is the heart thing. The actions are what I do in my life. And as I mature through trials, they line up more and more that my actions and my faith, I say I believe in God, and people looking at me will say, he has a reputation, she has a reputation following God. I see it. I see it. And that's an incremental growth. Perseverance, in a lot of ways, is going from failure to failure without loss of passion. I'm still keeping on. And it's not happening. One of the things we learn in walking with God is after a while we learn how weak our resources are. I can't do it. I can't keep doing this, but yet I find myself doing it. I'm still walking the walk. I don't know how I did it. A couple weeks ago, we had, Therese's a much better person than me. She had a big breakthrough, in dealing with the kids and dealing with the whole situation in our lives. The part of the documents, legal documents, was to have the other grandparents have a once-a-week call with the kids. And so every Saturday or Sunday, whatever day it depends on, they get to call and the kids, talk with them. And, little boys, they don't really want to spend a whole lot of time talking to somebody on the phone. They want to put the phone up and have grandma watch them play Legos. And, but in her heart, it's a beautiful thing. But we have kept a great distance from these people in the sense of emotionally connecting. And in fact, I really don't even talk to them. Therese really does the phone answering and the connections, and I'll say hi, and then I'll go on because I'm at that place. But a couple weeks ago, Therese and the grandmother's name's Joanne actually talked for probably an hour and a half or so, and she's given me permission to share this, but they talked for an hour and a half, and both moms got to share their pain. And so let's look at the timeline. This happened almost 3 years ago, so it's taken all this time to get to the place to emotionally be okay to emotionally connect with the mother of this man who murdered our daughter and ended up taking his own life. And the empathy, Therese said, they had, and she shared how he called her after he killed Sarah. And his mom answers the phone, and he told her that, Mom, I killed Sarah. I did it. And his mom fell to the ground and started crying out, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. And he was crying. He says, I'm so, so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. And she says, are the boys okay? Are the boys okay? And he said, yeah, the boys are okay. And she said, well, you got to turn yourself in. You got to turn yourself in. And he said, I can't do that. He says, I can't do that. And she said, oh, please, son. And she begged her son. And he couldn't, and so the pain and in these last number of years, and then he hung up, and in a short while he killed himself. And the pain this mom had that Therese and her could relate to, and then Therese shared her stuff and the empathy they could have. See, that took, in the walk of faith and in the walk of journey, 3 years. This woman's a believer. She's a believer. She hadn't left her house in years since it happened, basically. Very seldom would she leave her house. She was in so much shame that her son was a murderer, and all the things that would stir in her mind and all the pain she would have, and they were able to literally be two moms in grief together and empathize with each other. And she said she had great empathy, and it was, I don't know, but I share that with you. That to let you know that in your walk with the Lord, in your walk of faith with God, He will take you to places where before your faith couldn't go there, but now, for whatever reason, it can. And you realize in that it's not your strength and your ability, it's God doing something in you. And so we're all on that journey. We're all on that journey. And sometimes we bail out. So it tells us this, that in Luke 14, 28, Jesus was talking to his disciples and talking to really the people around. And he said, don't begin until you count the cost. And of course, he's talking to them about a house, but the inference there is their faith. He said, for those who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it. He says, listen, for who would do this? Well, many people start out like that. Many people. We come to the, let's change that to faith, because that's what the story is about. Change that to faith. We start out in faith. We believe God, but we don't ever really consider the cost. What will it cost me in this arena of faith? I talk to single people all the time that are on fire with God till they meet Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. And then within 2 months, they're living together. Well, they know that that's not what God would desire. They know that. But just like me lying to the policeman, God knows my heart. He knows my heart. Just because my actions don't line up with Eddie Lyons. Well, God wants your heart. You know, and they'll come in and talk to me. And they'll sit down and I'll ask them, why are you doing this? Well, Joe, it makes economic sense. Her income, my income. Why are we paying for two places? We love each other. Not enough to get married, but we love each other. To, you know, this and this and this. And I say, tell me more. It's fascinating. God must understand your heart. What? See, the cost. I'm willing to follow God. Until that cost kind of high. Oh, that cost messes with me. Oh, that cost is not what I want to pay. And that's just one area. What, we got a baptism coming on the 14th, right? That means I got to start working out on the 12th. So that I can go into the beach and baptize people. No, I'm at Pismo Beach with all the other parents that have kids, because we got our mom bods and our dad bods. Then you got all the young ones prancing around in their bathing suits. It's like, boy, he so wrong. You know, but what? If I want to get in shape, I got to count the cost. I got to count the cost. We always want the quick fix. We want the thing that's easy. I want my marriage to work, but we don't want to work on anything. We have this problem. We have that problem. Will you do something about it? I talk to guys all the time. I remember Chris years ago, Chris Jones. He after he got out of his world of the old world, and he comes into the kingdom of God, he learned a trade to do wood floors. They do amazing intricate type wood floors at the highest end stores in Beverly Hills. They are a niche. I mean, they can do the regulars, but they do the exotics. And he's got this talent, he's got this gift, but all his jobs were under the table. Were, you know, friends and family and people. So he couldn't get into construction sites because you need to be a contractor. And I was telling him, dude. God has given you a gift among a number of gifts. You need to go get your contractor's license. That'll open the door for you here and there and there. You'll become legit. You can advertise. You become a real deal. You can expand and take this gift and what God has given you to the next level. See, all of that, to do that, is a level of faith. I've never been good at taking tests. All the things we tell ourselves. Those trials, see, some of the trials we face are good trials. They're trials to promote us. When we think of trials, we always think of it as a negative thing. This guy counting the cost to build the house, and he only saved enough money or got a loan for enough money for the foundation. He didn't think it through. Well, there's an upside to that. You learn from that. You can learn from that so your next build, you can do it better. You've in a failed relationship, learn from that. What went well? What failed? What do we need to change? So if I move forward and rebuild, I can do something better. That's counting the cost. In fact, Hebrews 12:11 says this, no discipline. Because see, when you count the cost, it requires discipline. Now Chris would have to discipline himself. We got our men's ministry, Tim, who just shared today. Super gifted man. Super gifted. But I told him, brother, you got to get your theology. You got to go to get your education theologically. You got to grow in that arena to understand the dynamics of our faith in a way that goes beyond what you already know. That's a cost. You want to be this? You got to do that. And that requires discipline. Why? Because all of us want immediate gratification. We want now. Discipline causes us to delay gratification for a goal we're trying to achieve. And that puts us in the best position to handle it. And our faith is demonstrated in those areas. That's why when we talk about faith, it's multifaceted. I have great faith in some things, and when I face an officer, a warden, I have little faith. That was revealed to me. And you know what? If that guy would have found out about it, my reputation or Christian example to that man would not have been elevated. What did he say? The ancients, the old saints were commended for. What was that? They had a good reputation in the kingdom of God. They represented God in their social life well. They represented him well in their relationships. They walked by faith and in their business endeavors and in their integrity and all these areas. They're all areas of faith and action. And when God shows us an area, we can either applaud and be joyful, like, whoa, I've grown, or we'll go, whoa, like I just did in conviction about that whole deal with the little thing. It may seem like a little thing, but to me, it's an integrity thing. I wanted to plead innocent because I didn't want to pay. Let's see how many clams there are. And I knew exactly. There were 11. And there was a kid that got busted with them, but this guy was smart. He dumped most of them. He had 7, and I knew he was beating my kid in clam gathering. But when the cops come, oh my God, he's got 7. So I'm thinking, do I rat him off? Ha! No. I learned that lesson a long time ago. But to me, in the realm of life, it's a little thing, but it's an integrity thing. And I want a reputation to be a man of integrity in every area of my life. And so, don't tell nobody. And the beautiful thing about me sharing all this stuff with you is that the online internet is broken in this area. So, it's all about us. It's a meet. Look at this as a meeting. What we share in here stays in here until lunchtime, and then you share it with everybody. So it says here in Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. Yes, delayed gratification is painful. Not moving in with your boyfriend or girlfriend while you guys make sure you set up and keep walking your walk and work this thing and start planning and stuff. That removes a lot of, you know, instant gratification. And that's hard. But he says this, later on, however, there's a blessing to it. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. It produces something that's of great worth. Great worth. It's worth it. And so you and I, as we journey in our faith, perseverance is what... If I keep bailing out right at the beginning of the journey, I never get to mature because I keep failing the first lesson. Success is incremental. That's why perseverance is so important. Perseverance is a key to our growth. So when you're facing your next trial, or if you're in it, ask, show, where's your faith at? Where is your faith at? So we're going to jump into, and it'll probably be next week. I want to talk about an example of one of those old people who had great reputation in Scripture, who didn't receive everything up front, who had the journey. And if you look at Scripture, most of those people did. Don't ever fall for the okey-doke that your best life is now. It is not now. We are foreigners in this world. We are aliens. God said he'd meet our needs. And we're blessed that God oftentimes meets our needs way more than our needs and actually gives us way more. But that's also a test of generosity. That shows our faith in being generous. Listen, if I can't be generous with what I have now, I'm not going to be generous when I have more. That doesn't work like that. It works with where I'm at right now. So I'm going to look at a guy named Joshua, and I'll give you just a little heads up before we call it a morning. Joshua was in slavery, like every other Israelite in the time of Moses. He was probably in his mid-30s when he was delivered by Moses from Egyptian slavery. 2 years into his deliverance, and everybody of the Israelites knew about this promised land, this great place that God was going to give them. He promised them he would do it. And so they were well aware of the promises given to Moses for them. So 2 years into their journey, which they didn't know would last 40 years, Joshua, along with 11 other guys, were chosen from the 12 tribes to go spy out that land and see if it's really a land of milk and honey, which means a land of prosperity, if it really was a good place. So Joshua, 36 years old possibly, 38, maybe 34, somewhere in there, he goes with these 12 and he sees that's amazing land. He comes back along with a guy named Caleb and tells Moses and everybody, the land is great. We should go get it. Nothing happens for the next 38 years. 38 years plus the two is 40 years. In that chunk of time, which they knew there were promises given to them that they were going to get this land, they possessed not one inch of that land. They had no territory at all, although a couple of the tribes were given some territory outside of the land. They were willing to settle there. So Joshua, who was Moses' kind of his right-hand guy, he was the head of his tribe. He had some leadership experience. He had done battles. He had a, if you were to look at the timeline of his journey of faith in those 40 years, there were some real highs in there. The people had some highs, the nation had some highs, and they had some great lows. But nonetheless, they had all been brought to, the older generation was going to die and not get in the land, but they had gotten to the place where they're at the borders of this land. And what happens? Joshua's praying one day, And the Lord tells him and speaks to him and says, Joshua, Moses is dead. It's like, we all know that. Have you ever prayed to God and he tells you something that's already done? You know you're in a world of hurt right here. It's like, yeah, I got that part. And he says, hey, but you're going to be the guy. You're going to take him in. Now, this guy has journeyed 40 years on the timeline of his faith. And then we'll look at what happened. Because this next leg of the journey is all new to him. He never led the nation before. Yeah, he's been in battles and he's been a key member of his tribe. But he never led the nation before. He doesn't even know what it's all about. How's that going to work? 38 years ago, I was all gung-ho. You know, there's one thing about being gung-ho before something happens. It's another thing to be at the door of doing it. How many know that? How many have started school? Oh, man, I'm going to go to school a month into it. You know, I got to withdraw. How many have started a job? This is a great job. These people are marvelous. Not like the other clowns I was working with. When we had guys coming to the mission, they would say anything to get in the program. Anything. Oh, yeah. I'd lay out the program for them. I'd say, you know, this is a hard program, man. It's a year commitment. Year, schmear. Can do it in my heart. Stand on my head, do it. I go, it's really difficult, man. You got Bible studies. You got counseling. You've got groups. There's a, you know, this is a real deal, man. This is full-on commitment. You're living with a bunch of dudes for a long time in a 12-man bunk room. That's a lot of snoring and other sounds. And, you know, oh, yeah, I'm all in. Perfect. I knew immediately they weren't going to make it. No idea. They ain't going to make it. One thing is you think way too highly of yourself and your abilities. Because, like, right now you're living on the street, right? You haven't paid, or you came out of jail, or you came out of prison. You haven't lived in a structured environment to where you can make choices to bail or do this or do that. You've been pretty much cornered in somehow. And now you're going to do this. When they came in and I told them it was a year and they went like, oh my God, that guy's got a chance. He knows what he's heading into. He knows the difficulty, or she knows the difficulty of what they're going into. And that's the same thing with us as we journey with God. When we begin to move into God's call, like this guy Joshua is, and we'll look at what he's doing to get into the call, we begin to realize we are absolutely inadequate to do it. I am inadequate. I need help. That puts us in the right place of faith. That puts us there. And God will intentionally take us to places where our resources can't take us any farther, so that we can grow in our ability to follow him and also gain the courage. Because three times he tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Why would he tell him that? Because he's going to be weak and super terrified. Whenever you see something in Scripture that gives an admonition to be strong, that means the person dealing with it is going to be super weak. They're going to feel weak, inadequate, they can't do it. And God goes, that's okay, because I'm going to be with you. And that's your challenge and my challenge in our journey of faith. And that's where we can have joy. God, I can't handle this. I'm amazed at what I do with these kids all the time and trees. We're up in the morning making breakfast. I'm getting them ready for school, putting them to bed at night. And, you know, putting kids to bed at night is the worst experience of their life. They have no idea how great an experience that is. When I wake up in the morning, they have no idea when you get to be our age, when, I don't know what your age is, but my age, me, when you get to be me. When I wake up in the morning, you know what my first thought is? It isn't, God, thank you for another day. It's like, I can't wait to go to bed. How many, does anybody else have that thought? Yeah. It's like, morning already? What does that have to do with anything? Perseverance. It has everything to do with perseverance. Persevering in what we need to do when we need to do it. Perseverance in faith. Why don't we stand up? Let's get out of here a couple minutes early. That's a break for you. So everyone in here is on the next leg of their journey of faith. You've been on a journey of faith up to this very moment. Major successes, lots of failures. But you're on your next journey right now, and you don't know. One of the beautiful things is I'm watching my sister-in-law take care of her husband, who's years older than her, and she's become like a full-time care. Their marriage is a good marriage, but it's transitioned into a different type of marriage. And now they're dealing with that, and I respect her so much because she just pours in and loves him, and yet deals with all the things that she's got to deal with in that arena. And that I honor that. And they're in their next journey, and you're in your next journey. So whatever it is, whatever you're carrying, whatever God has allowed to be part of your walk at this time, the key is bear it well. Have a good reputation in it. Not with people, because people are going to criticize you and some will be, yay, amen, you're doing great. Some will, people are fickle. But if you have a good reputation in the eyes of God, when you can be at peace. When I did that with the warden, that whole afternoon, I wasn't at peace with myself. I wasn't a good example to the oldest one who was standing there next to me. And even though he didn't know if I knew it was true or not, bottom line is I knew. God knew. And I wasn't a good example to this dude. And like I said, I thank God he didn't know the kind of work I was in. And so it bothered me, and I had to get right with that. And I share that with you because that was a little smidgen. It wasn't the biggest thing in the world, but it was a thing in my life. And so you are in your journey. So whatever it is you've got to carry, whatever you walk into, this is my challenge to you, is be a man or a woman with a good spiritual reputation in it. Put that as your highest. Honoring God is the highest thing I want to do. No matter what is going on, no matter what he has given me or what he has taken away from me, I still am obligated to walk in faith because I want to be in the New Testament. I want my name in it. Don't you? And Joe followed Jesus in his generation. Beautiful. That's what I'm looking for. And you follow the Lord in your generation. It doesn't get better than that. And the rewards for that are eternal. That can't be beat. All right, all those, you guys got it? Who wants to do that? All right, dear Lord, I just pray for everybody here that we would honor God, that we would carry a good reputation in your eyes, in our lives, in the things, and on the timeline of where we're at right now as we march toward heaven. Where we're at, what we're dealing with, what we got to carry. Father, help us to carry well. What we need to let go, help us to let go. Father, I pray that we will not be driven by fear of criticism, by fear of what our failures in the past. That we not be driven by anxiety and making up imaginations of the future, but that we would live in the present and do what is well, whether it's a day at Pismo Beach or whether it's a day in their lives, Lord God. Let us do well. And all those who agree, say amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great day.